And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to discuss a new story, a new breaking development that's being reported all over mainstream media. The Jesuits have apparently thrown Judge Brett Kavanaugh, under the bus. Very interesting that this is being reported here after Judge Kavanaugh gave this very powerful, impassioned defense of himself, his character, his record, etc. yesterday against the accusations of this woman, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, where she came out and, you know, made these claims about something that happened more than 30 years ago, supposedly, but she just can't remember any details, any significant. I mean, she remembers some. She can't remember much about the house, the location, the people that she said were there. None of them are able to confirm her story. Nobody's able to confirm her story, apparently, from what we're being told on the news. So you have only her word for the situation. Then you have to wonder why she never came forward before now. They're saying that Judge Kavanaugh has been investigated by the FBI on 7 different occasions. Why? As part of a standard background check into his personal life and history, because of government positions that he has held in the past. And yet through all of this, never once has this issue come up in more than 30 years. So, of course, the whole thing is very, very strange that it's happening at all. And then she gives her testimony yesterday. We watched it on TV. It was, you know, it was very dodgy. It was very strange, especially the part about her flying and claiming that she didn't like to fly. And then she was asked about all of these different exotic locations that she went to because she's like a world traveler. And of course, she flew to go to all these world locations. And yet the fact that she didn't want to fly was part of the reason why there was this week-long delay in terms of having her come and give her testimony. So the whole thing has just been full of all kinds of strange things going on. And admittedly, nobody really knows what happened when you're talking about more than 30 years other than the people who were there. But Judge Kavanaugh came out. He gave a very impassioned defense. He was very, very bold. He gave an interview with Martha McCallum on Fox before that, and when I saw the interview, I thought he shouldn't have given that interview. He should not have given that interview because he was very, very timid. He wasn't very sure of himself in the interview, and you couldn't quite figure out, even though he was maintaining his innocence there, he just looked and sounded weak. He didn't sound, you know, it was not like a strong, robust rejection of what was being said. Then when he comes back yesterday, he gives a very, very strong, impassioned, robust, you know, testimony that this whole, all these proceedings have been completely ridiculous. And, you know, he and his family have been dragged through the mud and all this other kind of stuff. And it's unbelievable that the process is working this way, et cetera, et cetera. So it was very strong. He was getting high praise from conservatives for his bold stand. And now, the day afterwards, it's being reported. Somebody just sent us this email from the AP, AP News. Jesuits and legal institutions back away from Kavanaugh vote. And of course, this is talking about, well, it says, quote, the calls from the dean of Yale Law School, the president of the American Bar Association, and the magazine of the Jesuit Religious Order come as the Senate wrestles with how to proceed with a Kavanaugh nomination in the face of allegations of sexual assault. Now, folks, we've been talking about the Jesuits for years here on Noise of Thunder Radio. But you can see, if you didn't know it before, and if you're new to our program, you can see the Jesuits are not just an arcane order that was important 200 or 300 years ago. They continue to be important and relevant because of their influence in the education system, in colleges and universities in particular. Georgetown University is really considered to be their headquarters in the United States, but they've also got Fordham University and a whole variety of others, 28 colleges and universities across the country. And they're very, very influential. And Kavanaugh was trained at one of their prep schools. So that's why this is significant. But now you've got the Dean of Yale Law School, you've got the American Bar Association, and now America Magazine, the Jesuit publication, coming out speaking against Kavanaugh's nomination, saying that his nomination should be withdrawn based upon this accusation that's been brought up by this woman. The thing is, this is a tactic of the left. This is what the left has done. We've seen them do it over and over and over again. They did this with Clarence Thomas when he was nominated many, many years ago. They brought out a woman and she gave her testimony about how she'd been sexually mistreated by Clarence Thomas, etc. We saw this when Judge Roy Moore was doing well when he's running for the Senate and so on. Bam, sure enough, there is an accusation there. We saw it with Donald Trump when Trump, right before the election, you had all this flood of accusations. All these women just pop up that had never said a word about Trump for decades, even though the guy's been famous, he's been a billionaire, nobody says anything. Suddenly, bam, all of these women come out and they claim that he did all of these horrible things. And it's like an ongoing tactic of the left to try and find a way to discredit somebody with some kind of accusation of sexual misconduct. Because they know that, especially where men are concerned, if you can make that accusation and you just keep repeating it over and over again, whether it's true or not, it puts an element of doubt in people's minds. Now, many of you have, a number of you have sent me emails over the years talking about Alberto Rivera. Alberto Rivera, who was a former Jesuit priest, according to what he testified, he's passed away years ago, but he claimed to be a former Jesuit priest. The reason I say it that way is because other people questioned that later on. But that was his testimony. That's the testimony given by Chick Publications. They did a whole series on Alberto Rivera. And Alberto's testimony, many of the things that he said are provably true. But one of the things that he talked about in his testimony is that the Jesuits and the Vatican, if they want to take somebody out, this is the method that they often use. They will often find a beautiful girl. They will get her to go and try to seduce somebody. This is according to what Alberto said in his testimonies. They'll try and get her to seduce somebody and then go out and talk about it later on. Okay? A variation of that might be to find somebody, if you've got somebody who's just not willing to go along with something like that, to find a way to make the accusation against somebody. And you can take them out that way. That's the reason why this whole thing to me is, and the process in our political system, the fact that you constantly have these accusations. And of course, conservative media and independent media has rightly pointed out the hypocrisy of the Democrats and the left, because they have shamelessly supported the Clinton family for years. And Bill Clinton is far worse than anybody who's been brought up in the last decade, probably. The accusations against Clinton are much more consistent. They're much more credible. They're spread out over a long period of time. and they're not accusations for something he did in college or something like that, but what he did while he was the governor of Arkansas. That's the big difference there. But now our question is, why are the Jesuits, why are they specifically coming out against Brett Kavanaugh? Now, I've talked about on the program before how he was trained at a Jesuit prep school. Is it possible they want him as one of their guys on the Supreme Court for some reason? Well, interestingly, back in July of this year, when Kavanaugh was nominated by President Trump, America Magazine published an article which said, the headline was, this was July 9th, 2018, and the headline said, the editors, anyone who recognizes the humanity of the unborn should support the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh. Okay, so the Jesuits now making this statement, which is a very interesting statement for them to make. And we have to remember that they are masters of the Hegelian dialectic. So thesis versus antithesis equals synthesis. This is a tactic that they use. They're known for it, the Hegelian method. Prior to this, in June, I mean, literally 1 month earlier, brethren, just want you to notice this. June 2nd, 2018 versus July 9th. Okay, so about a month apart. 1 month earlier, you had the Jesuit Thomas Rees, who I've talked about on the program for several years. But he was featured in a Breitbart article. And the article said, quote, Jesuit priest tells Catholics to fight abortion by electing pro-choice Democrats. Tells Catholics, now you got a Jesuit priest telling Catholics to fight abortion by electing pro-choice Democrats. In other words, support abortion, and that's how you're going to fight abortion. Now, if that's not Jesuitical double talk, I don't know what is. But that's, of course, that's what that is. And Breitbart said that Jesuit Father Thomas Rees has published a disgraceful essay urging Americans to vote for pro-choice Democrats while claiming that defunding Planned Parenthood is, quote, irresponsible. Now, I have believed for years that the Jesuits are fully in support of abortion, despite whatever outward public doctrine they might profess, because it completely fits in with what the Church of Rome has done or reportedly done for centuries. And that is because they have a bunch of sexual deviants in the Catholic priesthood when they impregnate young girls and so on. Go read the book, Rule of the Monk, by Giuseppe Garibaldi from 1870. He talks about this. But when they impregnate young girls, of course, it's a scandal. When their children have been born in the past, they would be smothered. They would be killed. And then their bodies dumped into pits, lime pits. That's what's reported in history books. So there's no reason why they would really take a stand against abortion. They would do it publicly because that's what Catholic people expect them to do. And I'm sure some of the priests in the Catholic Church are probably sincere in their opposition to abortion. But there's no question that the Jesuits have been involved in promoting abortion. I mean, You have a Catholic group called Catholics for Choice. Catholics for Choice. Go look this up online. And this just from Wikipedia. Catholics for Choice is a pro-choice dissenting Catholic advocacy group based in Washington, D.C., formed in 1973. Its original name was Catholics for a Free Choice. Then you go on, you read about the founders, who were a bunch of women. And then it says, quote, an early member of the board of directors was Joseph O'Rourke, then a Jesuit priest. Okay? The Jesuits are known for all of this kind of liberal, anti-Christian, immoral stuff. Throughout history, they're known for it. And the issue of abortion is no exception. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more about this when we come back right after this. We'll be right back.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about how the Jesuits now have apparently thrown Judge Kavanaugh under the bus. Now, initially, remember, in July, we started to talk about how the Jesuit magazine America supported the nomination of Kavanaugh and said anyone who recognizes the humanity of the unborn should support the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh. That's what they said. But just 1 month before, they had the Jesuit Father Tom Reese, who used to be the editor for America magazine, by the way, came out and said that Catholics should vote for pro-abortion Democrats and that by doing so, they would somehow or other be opposing abortion. That was the very Jesuitical argument that was made. So they're both for and against abortion, apparently, because you find Jesuits on both sides, which they commonly do. So why now throw Kavanaugh under the bus? Probably my guess is twofold. One, all of the talk about Kavanaugh, at least on the surface, has to do with Roe v. Wade and the Democrats and those on the left and even the Jesuits. If you go and read the article there from America magazine about how anyone who recognizes the humanity of the unborn, etc., it's all about Roe v. Wade and the expectation that if Kavanaugh is confirmed on the Supreme Court, that he will be the key vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. That right now is what many people are expecting. Now, whether or not that happens, we'd have to wait and see. But that is what that's what all the frenzy on the left is about. It's why they don't want Kavanaugh, because they expect he will overturn Roe v. Wade. And so this article, they spend this time talking about how supposedly this is what Kavanaugh would do. All right, now I want to read just, this is a quote from this article, this Jesuit article, where they endorsed Kavanaugh. They said this, they said, quote, reversing Roe will not make abortion illegal in every jurisdiction. It would simply affirm the right of the people through their legislators to make the law, while upholding the right of the judiciary to say what the law is. Now, of course, I disagree with the latter part of that whole comment there. That's the whole problem with our judicial system right now, is judicial activism and giving this authority to the judges to decide what our Constitution is and what the law is. And really, they're not supposed to have that power. The judges are supposed to be guardians of the law, not the controllers of the law. And that's actually an argument that was made toward the kings of old Europe. They maintained that, you know, you have Rex Lex versus Lex Rex. Is the king the law, or is the law king? And our forefathers argued, our Protestant, Puritan, and ultimately revolutionary forefathers argued that it is lex rex, the law is king, and the king must submit to the law. And by king, of course, they meant the powers of government, the state. The government must submit to the law. Those who are involved in government must submit to the law. They cannot be a law unto themselves. This is a very important principle. I mean, that is the hinge upon which the door of liberty turns in many ways. Because if the government can make arbitrary decisions about things, and if any branch of government is not restrained by the rule of law, then tyranny could come walking in the door at any moment. That's what our forefathers understood. So that's why this is important. So giving the judicial branch, allowing them, and we have to understand, this is a post-World War II movement. Judicial activism is not the original form of government that we had. Judicial activism was really empowered in 1958 with the case Cooper versus Aaron, 1958, Cooper versus Aaron, that declared that the U.S. Supreme Court and its decisions are the supreme law of the land. You see, prior to that, the Constitution was the supreme law of the land. But Cooper versus Aaron, 1958, essentially decided, no, it's not the Constitution. It is the decisions that are given by the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, when I interviewed Jerry Thompson and Kerry Lee Morgan, who are both attorneys, one's an attorney, the other one's a lawyer, but they're both lawyers. They're both lawyers, and I interviewed them for our new film, The True Christian History of America, which is forthcoming. We're in post-production on that right now. But anyway, we talked about this, and they argued, along with Herb Titus, I'm pretty sure Herb agreed with them, but they argued that Cooper versus Aaron is probably the worst decision that the Supreme Court has ever made, because that decision is what empowers all of these others. That's what empowers Roe v. Wade. That's what empowers the gay marriage ruling. That's what empowers all of the subversive rulings that we have seen come through the Supreme Court and through judicial activism. It's Cooper versus Aaron. And so that's the problem, and that's where much of the judicial argumentation comes from. And that's where this thinking here in this Jesuit article comes from. The whole idea of the right of the judiciary to say what the law is, rather than to be the guardian of the law. That's what our forefathers believed. The king and the powers of government, they are to guard the law. They don't have the power to overturn God's law in any way whatsoever. They have to be the guardians of God's law, and then the guardians of the laws that have been established through the people and the parliamentary procedure. But no law can contradict the laws of God. See, all of that's been cast aside here in recent decades, unfortunately. But that's the concern. So why would the Jesuits now turn on Brett Kavanaugh? Well, they're very pro-abortion. They're just very careful about it. They're very stealthy about it, on the one hand. On the other hand, they're also very anti-Second Amendment. They've been calling for the overturning or the repeal of the Second Amendment for years. And we've talked about this on the program before at America Magazine. They've got an article they published years ago that says the headline is Repeal the Second Amendment. That's what they want. And I believe they want it in part because of the history behind it, because they know that the right to bear arms was established originally as a Protestant right with the English Bill of Rights of 1689. They know that. So that's a historic rivalry that they have with the right to bear arms. They want to see that overturned. And right now, Kavanaugh, if Kavanaugh is what he appears to be, which would be pro-life, conservative, an originalist, meaning he believes that the original understanding of the Constitution should be the Constitution, meaning that he opposes judicial activism, supposedly. This is what's the impression that we're being given. And that he's a strong defender of the Second Amendment. If all that's true, I would argue those would be the reasons why the Jesuits would want to get him out of there, because they want to see the Second Amendment overturned and they do not want Roe v. Wade overturned. I don't believe they do. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But at this point, they have done an about face from their earlier support of Kavanaugh. And now they're saying, quote, it is time for the Kavanaugh nomination to be withdrawn. It should be very interesting to see what happens next. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.